Welcome to the podcast series for AJP Heart and Circulatory Physiology. I'm your host, Kara Hansel-Kian. Today, we'll discuss the article by Frug et al. Titled, Chymase-Dependent Production of Angiotensin II, an Old Enzyme in Old Hearts. This article published online November 4th, 2016. Joining me today are Editor-in-Chief Irv Zucker, Lead Author Dong Sun, and content expert Jolt Bagui. Let's get started.
Thank you, Kara. Traditionally, the renin-angiotensin system is thought to be dominated by activity of the angiotensin-converting enzyme, which cleaves two amino acids from angiotensin 1 to make angiotensin 2, the octapeptide. Angiotensin-converting enzyme 2 further converts angiotensin 2 to angiotensin 1 through 7. What has not been as well appreciated is the conversion of angiotensin 1 to angiotensin 2 by the endopeptidase chymase. This is especially true in myocardial tissue and may be impacted by the aging process. Dong, can you please tell us why you did this study, some of the rationale behind the current study, how it was conducted, a little bit of methodology, and what major results you found?
We all know aging process has a significant impact on cardiovascular system. Aging increases oxidative stress, which will reduce endothelium-dependent nitric oxide-mediated dilation. In the literature and ourselves, we all find that the aging decrease flow-induced dilation, for example. We also know that angiotensin II increases oxidative stress that will cause decreased flow-induced dilation. On the other hand, the exercise activity can normalize these changes or reverse these changes. The initial idea was very simple. We just want to compare this whether aging has effect on myocardial angiotensin II level. For that, we had three experimental groups, 3 months and 24 months sedentary groups, and aged exercise groups. Those rats were exercised on treadmill for several months until their age reached to 24 months. Then we take a heart, pulverize the tissue of the heart, then preserve them in minus 80 degrees. Then we start to measure this angiotensin 1, angiotensin 2, angiotensin 1 to 7. We also measure the ACE, ACE expression and activity, ACE2 expression and activity. Regarding to the major finding of a current study, I think the most important finding is aging increase angiotensin 2 level in the heart. This increased angiotensin 2 is not dependent on ACE, is dependent on the chymase activity. The second major finding is a mismatch between the angiotensin 2 and angiotensin 1 to 7. In the aged heart, angiotensin 1 to 7 level is significantly reduced, while exercise can reverse this process. These are two major findings we reported in the paper.
Thank you, Dong. Jolt, it's impossible to separate angiotensin signaling from oxidative stress and redox mechanisms, especially at the vascular level, but in other tissues as well. I wonder if you can expand on these findings and talk a little bit about the significance.
Oh, yes. This study really highlights the complexity of mechanisms by which aging activates the angiotensin system in the heart. And this study clearly suggests that chymase generates angiotensin II even in the presence of ACE inhibitor, which is often taken by patients with cardiovascular diseases. This is very significant because high angiotensin levels are linked to excess production of reactive oxygen species. And as a consequence of this, impaired cardiac contractility and dysfunction of coronary arteries are very common and coincide in the elderly. In this process, reactive oxygen species, as Dong mentioned, impair vasodilator signaling in coronary blood vessels. But at the same time, this ROS production can damage contractile proteins in cardiomyocytes, and this may contribute to the development of both systolic and diastolic heart failures. On the other hand, it is also known that mast cells, as the main source of the cardiac chymase, are often found in the perivascular spaces. So one can speculate that this perivascular chymase and angiotensin production preferentially targets blood vessels. So I would like to ask Dong, do you have any evidence that this chymase-dependent angiotensin-2-mediated production of reactive oxygen species selectively targets blood vessels to impair coronary vasodilator function, as you pointed out, or this mainly affects cardiomyocytes, causing left ventricle systolic or diastolic dysfunction in aging?
I don't have a direct answer for this. As in the end of the paper, we indicate one of the important things we did not do in this paper is a functional analysis. What is the effect of a chymase-dependent increase angiotensin II effect on cardiac performance, effect on coronary circulation? I guess you are absolutely right. Increased angiotensin II will increase oxidative stress. Increased oxidative stress will have a profound effect not only on the heart performance, also on the coronary circulation. As we all know that this increased oxidative stress will decrease NO bioavailability. So increase the mast cells, perivascular mast cells, will increase chymase, increase production of angiotensin II. That will decrease vasodilator capacity of all kinds of vessels, especially in the coronary circulation.
Thank you, Deng. I have a question about the exercise component of this study. You know, as I get older, I find I can't exercise as much. Uh-huh. And I worry about the balance between ACE and ACE2, ANG2 and ANG17. And some years ago, we did a study in which we looked at the expression of both of these enzymes in the brain of animals with heart failure that were subjected to an exercise training regimen. And we found that exercise training increased ACE2 and reduced ACE. I wonder if you have any insight into the mechanism by which exercise can alter these enzymes, including chymase.
For years, we have a struggle about this mechanism of effect of exercise on endothelial function, why exercise can improve endothelial function. One of the mechanism, potential mechanism we always try to propose is the effect of shear stress. This intermittent increase of flow will increase shear stress. That may increase this endothelium-dependent nitric oxide-mediated dilation that will improve coronary circulation. Regarding to the exercise, why the exercise can reduce chymase, why the exercise can reduce this angiotensin II and angiotensin, increase angiotensin 1 to 7 to change this ratio of these two, I don't have a direct answer, but there are some other experiments. They use to study this promoter region for this ACE exercise certainly may affect on this promoter activity of the ACE. If exercise can decrease gene expression, this ACE expression and ACE activity, that certainly will decrease this angiotensin II production. If exercise reduce oxidative stress, we know oxidative stress activate not only stimulate mast cells for the local accumulation, but also these angiotensin II oxidative stress will activate mast cells to release the chymase. Release the chymase, then generate more angiotensin II and further increase oxidative stress. So the balance between these two is really important.
Thank you. Zsolt, any other questions or comments?
What could be the potential aging-induced mechanisms that are responsible for cardiac mast cell accumulation? Because there is a theory, an immunological theory of aging, that suggests that the immune system is programmed to decline its functions over time. And this fact is the main cause of aging. So I wonder whether cardiac mast cell accumulation could be the sign of some kind of immunological decline. And this would really cause the chymase activation and excess angiotensin production. And we can consider the cardiac aging as an immunological cause of the disease.
Deng, do you want to comment on that?
Okay, let me try. The mast cell accumulation and the mast cell activation are two different concepts. Increased oxidative stress will increase mast cell local accumulation. That is one. Increased angiotensin II production will further activate the activation of mast cells. Besides these mast cells accumulation, there are other sources for chymase. For example, endothelial chymase. That has not been explored, I think, enough, especially in the coronary circulation. I would like to congratulate to Gazelle Fruk. She's one of my PhD students. She did almost all these studies. I think she did a wonderful job. Also this morning, she just gave a birth, her first baby boy. So we should say congratulations to her.
Thank you, Deng. This has been a really interesting discussion, an important topic. I'm going to stop aging and go out and work on my treadmill as soon as this call is over. I want to thank you both for participating, and I think we'll turn it back to Kara.
You've been listening to an AJP Heart and Circulatory Physiology podcast. For more podcasts like this, visit us online at ajpheart.physiology.org. Thank you.